Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be starting a new year together. And thank you all for being here this morning. Matt, I want to thank you for your words this morning at the Lord's table. To me, that is the highlight of our coming together on the first day of the week to gather around the table, the Lord's table, and partake of the communion together and remember His death on the cross. And you just did a magnificent job. Thank you for those words. And I want to thank Ted for teaching the class. And it's just a blessing to me to be able to sit in the class and listen to the men who come and be able to be edified myself. Because I try to bring the thoughts of God's Word, but I don't get to sit and listen, and I appreciate that when I can be in Ted's class every Sunday morning and Matt making those beautiful talk at the Lord's table this morning. So thank you very much. Well, let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. And I have the same problem that Ted has every Sunday morning, because when I look up at that clock, we're already running out of time. And I want to respect your time. And that's one of my goals this year, is to try to get us out more on time. I realize sometimes we're over time getting out. And I don't want everybody thinking, oh, he goes on forever. And so the long lessons, I want to try to be respectful of your time, because I know your time is valuable. Anyway, I'm going to have to move right along. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we're going to read together this morning. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Well, I've got to say that this is one of the most clear and most loved descriptions of salvation anywhere in the New Testament. As we move on through this, we come to this verse in chapter 8 of chapter 2, by grace you have been saved. And so it is such an important passage about telling us how to see our salvation in Christ. And that's what Paul in Ephesians is writing to help us see how we are so blessed and so rich in the blessings in our salvation in Christ. And so as we look here at Ephesians chapter 2, I want us to see that what Paul is doing is he is wanting us to see back to our condition before we became Christians, our former life without Christ, and then contrast that with our life in Christ. So that life that we were living in sin before we became Christians, and contrast that with our life that we have now in Christ. And especially think about the position where we are, spiritually, our position in Christ. In chapter 1, he was talking about the possessions that we have in Christ, the blessings. And he wants us to see and look at our life this way, where we were and where we are now, and where we will be, where God is planning to take us from here. And that is, sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need to look back where we have come from, and then we look at where we are. And what does that do? It tells us how far we have come. And not just how far we have come, but how far God has brought us. And that He has a purpose in that, that He is going to take us into the future. He has a plan for us there in the future. His point is that we do not deserve salvation that we have in Christ. And it's not based on what we have done. Although there are things that we have done and must do in order to accept this salvation. But his point is, this salvation, we have to give the praise to God for what He has done. Because He, when we were dead, He did not give up on us. He did not quit. He did not stay out of it. God acted on our behalf when we were in that condition. So we're going to look at the former life, and then we're going to look at the life that we have here now. So in verses 1 through 3, let's first look at the former life. And he said, "You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead in trespasses and sins before we became a Christian. That's true for all of us. Paul was writing to the Gentiles, but the Jews, we're all the same as far as this is concerned. And we were dead. We were separated from God because of our sins. And in this condition, because we had sinned against God and we were in our sins and transgressions, God was not part of our life. Life without God, separated from God. Paul views that as spiritual death. The Bible tells us that sin causes death. That when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die." Well, they didn't die physically, but they became alienated from God. They became separated from God. And God is the source of life. So when we are separated from God, we are dead. Sin is going to result in death when we do die physically. But if we are living in sin, we're already spiritually dead. God is not in our life. But not only were they dead in sins, they were, as he says in verse 2, "in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." When we were without Christ, we were really under the control of sin. We did not have true freedom. And sometimes people feel like, I'm free to do all that I want to do. I don't want the Bible telling me the rules of how I'm to live. I want to be free. And the truth is that without God, we are under the control of these three things that he points out here. The course of the world. Without realizing, we have adopted the ways of the world around us. And we are As we are born into this world, we begin to live like the people of the world around us because there is sin in the world. We begin to do like everyone else does, and we become caught up in sin ourselves. We conform to this world. And the Bible tells us in 1 John, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But those who do the will of God will abide forever." So we were under the control, we're controlled by the world, and we're controlled by the prince of the powers of the air. Satan, in other words. Satan is invisible to us, but we were under his control. And the Bible says that he is the god of this world. And that many people, I think, scoff at the idea of the devil. But the Bible speaks about him very soberly, warning us, and that he is controlling us in the way that we are following him. And because of sin in our lives, Jesus said, for example, of Satan, that he was a liar from the beginning, and that when we follow after that way of life, he is our father. We are following in the way of Satan without realizing it. Satan is involved in temptation. We are told that. And Paul also says, though, that the lusts of our flesh, of our own flesh, we're controlled by our own sinful flesh and our own lusts and our own desires, which come forth out of our mind, by the way. You see, he mentions all of these things, that they are working together, and that is the life that we were living before Christ. Before we became living a life of faith in Christ, our life was dead. Our life was under the control of sin, and we were children of wrath as the rest. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we don't need to even go into naming all of the specific sins that we commit because of our desires. And yet, Paul's point is, he wants us to look back and see that's how we were all living. God is a righteous God, and therefore we were under the condemnation of sin in our lives. And we would have been lost. We would have only one destiny awaiting us when we die physically. We would be separated from God throughout eternity under his wrath. But you see, then is where he turns the corner and he says, But God, those are the key words, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So God acted for us when we were dead. God made us alive with Christ when we were hopelessly lost. And we could not save ourselves in that condition. God acted to save us. And it came from his mercy and his great love that he has for us. Paul doesn't normally use the word mercy so much as he uses the word grace. But here he says he was rich in mercy. And mercy and grace are very closely related. Because with mercy, God gives us something that we did not deserve, or He withholds something that we do deserve. What did we deserve? We deserved death. But God, in His mercy, He did not give us that. Instead, He gave us His Son to die for us because of His great love for us. And by that, He made us alive. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, there's something here that we tend to miss because the chapter division of Ephesians chapter 2, coming at the end of Ephesians chapter 1. And keep in mind, those chapter divisions were not part of the Bible originally. Those were added by men because it makes it easier for us to turn and find the passage that we're looking for. But when we go back and look at Ephesians chapter 1 again, beginning with verse 18, where he says that you may have the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, and put all things under his feet, and gave him all authority to be head over the church. And here he comes in chapter 2, and he says, but you were dead, and he made you alive. So what he is saying is that same power that God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him, we were raised and exalted with Christ because we are in Christ. That the same power that raised God from the dead and exalted him, that same power raised us and exalted us. He comes on down here in verse 7 and he says, he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. We were dead, but God acted on us to save us. In other words, God reached down to pull us out of the condition we were all in. And when you talk about this, raised us up with Christ, we can turn to other passages and we can see that when God did that was when we were baptized into Christ and we were buried with Christ and we were raised up to newness of life. So there is our obedience and our faith that we must accept that gift of salvation that God provides for us. But Paul's point is not to dwell on that. His point is it was God who came down and saved us. And just as he went into the grave and he took Christ up from the dead and he raised him up and he exalted him up into heaven as the right hand of God over all power and all authority, God did that with us. He raised us up from our condition of death and exalted us, made us to sit with him in the heavenly places. See, I don't believe that is referring to heaven. What he says there, when he seated us with him in heavenly places, I think he's saying that's where we are right now. We are right now exalted to be with Christ, sitting with him in the heavenly places, the heavenly realm where we are. But he's saying where we were was we were walking in sin and trespasses and disobedience, and the mind of our was going after the things of the world, and Satan was the prince of the power of the air. He was really ruling over our lives. And we weren't going to be able to get out from under that. God came down, though, and what He did for us through Christ, He provided a way for us to say, Lord, thank You. I believe. I see Your love through Jesus. I want to have the forgiveness of my sins. I want to be obedient to You. I am willing to surrender my life in faith and obedience and repentance and baptism so that I can be raised up from death and exalted to sit with Christ. And that's not really anything that we do. It's what God is doing for us, what He is willing to do for us. And why did He do this? He says, so that in the ages to come, He may show the riches of His grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So God is wanting to do this so that in the ages to come, when we are in heaven, throughout the ages of eternity, God can continue to show us the riches of His grace and His kindness. And to me, what I see in that is that throughout eternity, we're just going to continue to be receiving blessing after blessing after blessing. And what we will see is how much God loves us. Now, there's two things that I believe make it difficult for us to really grasp hold of what Paul is saying. And the first thing is that we don't see how bad it was when we were in sin. We tend to look at that and we say, well, I know a lot of people who aren't really Christians, but they are nice people, they're good people, and I have a hard time seeing that this really is true, that they are dead, that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so we have trouble seeing that we were actually in that condition. And the second thing that is hard for us to realize is how good it is in Christ where we are now. Because we still live in this world, we still struggle in many ways, and so we have difficulty realizing the spiritual blessings that we have, and that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places as we speak. There are two realms that we live in. One is we can live in this world in sin and transgression, or we can live in Christ. When we make the commitment to live in Christ, then we are transferred out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His love. And as I say, that happens when we are baptized into Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We are transferred into Christ. And we have all spiritual blessings. But it's a spiritual realm. Many times we don't see those. We don't realize how good our life is in Christ. And it makes me think of the movie. Karen and I watched It's a Wonderful Life a couple of weeks ago before Christmas. And thinking of Jimmy Stewart in that movie and how he became so despondent in his life. And he was such a good guy that grew up here in his small town of Bedford Falls and spent his whole life really serving other people. And then, because his Uncle Billy, you know, had a drinking problem, and he took the money to the bank one night and he laid the envelope in the wrong place, and Mr. Potter got hold of it. And suddenly, George Bailey realized, I'm going to prison. And what has my life been accomplished? Nothing. My life, it means nothing. And he became so despondent, he says, I wish I had never been born. And up pops the angel Clarence and says, George, you just got your wish. You've never been born. And it takes him a while to realize. He goes back into town and he's talking to everybody and says, you guys know me. You know me. And they said, we've never seen you before in our life. And Clarence says, George, they never seen you. You never existed. Your life never existed. Finally, he gets to the point and he says, I just want my life back, Clarence. I want my life back. And Clarence says, bing. And he goes back home and his wife and his kids are there, which 10 minutes ago he tried to find them. The house was all boarded up. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a children. And he realizes, what a wonderful life I have. And how the world would have been so different without George Bailey there. That's a parable of each one of us, really. Sometimes we get down on ourselves. And we look at ourselves even as Christians and we can't see how good we have it in Christ. What God has done for us. And what is that saying? That's what He's going to take us. He is planning to take us to be with Him in eternity. So don't give up. Don't get discouraged in living the Christian life. You have all riches and blessings in Christ. And it's not what you have done to make those available to you. It's what God did for you. Our responsibility is to accept them and to appreciate them and to see what God has done and give Him the praise for it. He's the one that's going to receive the glory, not us, in our salvation. But it's for real. It's the real deal. And so don't look down upon it, what we have in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful life that God has made for us, and His plan is to make it far, far better when this life is over. As long as we are in Christ Jesus, these are the blessings that we have. 12:10. Oh no, did it again. All right, we'll stand together and sing the invitation song. And let's think about the blessings that we have, that we have been made alive in Christ. Give Him the praise. Let's stand together and sing.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.